everyone, welcome back to the podcast on Germany. My name is Jacob, and this is a special episode on the new Netflix show, Barbarians. So, I do apologize, this episode was supposed to come out Friday. It did not. You see, we had an ice storm that hit Oklahoma City and the surrounding area this last week. Pretty brutal. I luckily did maintain my power and internet most of the time. I lost it off and on every once in a while, but thankfully I wasn't one of the hundreds of thousands of houses that lost power when this happened. But what did happen, as I was recording this episode and the normal episode that's coming out this week, it just so happened that the ice storm started to destroy trees as I was recording. Now, I didn't think the actual recording would pick it up, but it did. And so it sounded like there was gunfire in the back of my recordings. Even as I was talking about the Teutoburg Forest, it sounded like there was a machine gun going off due to the trees just collapsing everywhere. A little bit distracting, I would assume, so I just cut it out and decided that we would re-record. And today was the first free day I had to re-record it, so doing it now, I'll edit, and I'll release it this afternoon. So, again, sorry for the delay. So, this special episode, what's it about? Well, this is a German-produced show that looks at the life of Arminius, the man who destroyed three Roman legions deep in the heart of Germania. It just so happened to release last weekend, and I was like, this would be a perfect capstone for the month of Germany. Now, this month was an amazing success. We had 5.5 hours worth of material added this month alone with some fantastic interviews. And we continue with our main story, exploring the Vandal Germanic Kingdom that was set up in North Africa. Plenty of episodes to listen to at home or over the holidays coming up. Now, at this point, I would start the episode, but there's one more thing I wanted to do. Before doing so, I want to give a special shout out to Jackson Gray and Marcelli Kowalski for their kind words and support this last week. They both sent me some truly inspiring emails, very sweet of them, very encouraging. Jackson actually suggested doing this episode. I had it on the back burner, and I was glad that he was interested in having me doing it as well. So, Jackson, this episode is for you. As a warning, as I'm about to start this special episode, we will go into some detail about the show. So if you are interested in watching the show, I will be giving a brief overview of my thoughts on the show and its material, and then take a moment to allow you to switch off before we dive into the details. So if you are interested, just listen to the little bit at the beginning, and then go watch the show and come back to get the rest of my thoughts on it. So, the show Barbarian on Netflix. It is originally made in German, and I do recommend watching it in German if you would like to try to learn some German. The first season is about the lead up and the battle of the Teutoburg Forest. It's not very historically accurate. It's about as accurate as the Patriots or as Braveheart. You know, it's a good war story that's barely flirting with the truth. Just kind of get past that. I went in there with all my notes fired up, waiting to do these comparisons to see what I would put into this episode. And after the first episode, I put the notes away because I was like, okay, never mind. This is not going to be a historical accuracy test. There's not enough here to build off of. So just keep that in mind as you're watching the show. Second thing to keep in mind is that it is very, very Hollywood. So expect some eye-rolling lines like, Romans never kill Romans. Things like that. Third, as a fair warning to everyone, there is violence. There is gore, there is nudity, and there's sex. So if you have an issue with any of those things, this show is probably not going to be for you. And if you are underage, well, make sure to get your parents' permission to watch this before turning it on. Would I recommend the show without going into further details? Probably I would if you want just a an okay war story. It's not that bad. Let's see if they do better with the a new season and if they'll go into more detail. Don't watch it if you want to see the true story of Arminius and what happened in Germania. Not going to get that, but it's still very interesting. But it does have some issues that that plague it without going into the details. First of all, the show was really short. Too short. It felt like they needed 10 episodes instead of the 6 that they got. Because basically the turning of Arminius and the battle takes place in the last 2 episodes. Not a lot happens in those 2 episodes to really give you the build-up you deserve. There's some skips and time changes that seem to come without good reason or pacing. And that kind of plagues the show. And again, that kind of leads back to the issue of just not enough episodes. If they added 4 more episodes, it would have really helped them. The other big issue that I saw was that the characters had some motivation issues. That they just seemed to jump from mood to mood without pure motivation for it, changing their viewpoints on matters without strong explanation or reasoning. There's also a character that I'm just not a fan of because he was created for what I call a traditional Hollywood conflict. I'm not going to go into the details right now, but yeah, I just had issues with him. He was just not a character I thought needed to be there. And the final issue I can give you, again, without going into too much detail, is just that the battle just seemed rushed and honestly should have had more done with it. But again, that comes down to the limits they put on the show. So those are some of the issues I had with it. What did I like about it? Well, the story was entertaining. It kept me interested. So that's a plus. The costumes, the fort, the Germanic village were well done. Especially for what budget they were probably working with. They were well done. My biggest like was the language barrier. That would have been prevalent in the time. The tribes speak their Proto-German. And the Romans speak Latin. In this show, if you watch it in German, the tribes speak in German, and the Romans speak in Latin. If you watch it in English, of course, it's the Germans who are speaking English. The Romans are always speaking Latin. And that's very enjoyable, especially considering you don't really get to hear Latin spoken too much. So being able to see people use Latin as the main form of talking was very interesting. And being able just to go into that moment where you realize, you know, there's a huge language barrier that is just part of this early Roman Empire. The racism that is in the show is an important aspect. I think they did a decent job of showing it for the most part. There were some issues with that. And it's something that we as an audience do kind of forget about would have been prevalent in this time period. It was nice to see it shown. The landscapes are gorgeous, though maybe too varied for the area that they're supposed to be in. But seeing the bogs, the closed-in forest, the vast nothing that would have made up Germania, it was just beautiful to see. The landscapes were extremely beautiful. Overall, an okay, rather sped-up historical fiction drama. And I recommend giving this show a chance if you're just wanting something to watch. That's where we're going to cut off for our non-spoiler section. So if you are interested in the show, go ahead and just end this episode here and come back after you've watched it. Once you have watched it, go ahead and send me your thoughts. I'm interested to see what you thought of it. Now, for the rest of you, whether you are here just because you want to find out what my thoughts are, or if you've already watched the show, I will repeat, this show is not historical whatsoever. Okay, I'm not going to try to defend anything historically in this show. There are so many things I could point to and just say that is completely wrong, which is, well, it's just a major perk of doing this research. And being a historian, that's what you get to do. For others, they see this as an annoyance, especially, you know, when they're watching the movie with me. But I like being able to notice flaws. That's just what I like to do in historical dramas. So, let's dive down into, well, the characters. We'll just start from the very beginning with the characters. Arminius, the main guy. I do like who they have for Arminius. I thought he did a decent job. Though I wish they had explored more in depth his relationship with the Romans as a German. It's kind of vague. They go in a little bit with the racism and all that, but that's about it. Now, if you look up pictures of Arminius, you get the traditional quote-unquote German look to him, which is the wild blonde hair, blue eyes, long beard. And I bet a lot of people who watch the show would expect Arminius to look like this. But the Arminius they portrayed is definitely more Roman. Smooth face, short hair, black hair at that, a darker skin. And all this would have probably been much more accurate. Maybe not the hair, but the color of the hair, but the rest of him would have been extremely accurate. Arminius was raised in a Roman household. He wouldn't be expected to maintain his Germanic image, but would have been made to look as Roman as possible. Now, he was not, I repeat, not raised by Varus. He probably didn't even meet Varus until the Germania campaign. Varus was never in Germania before the campaign and was not the one who took Arminius from his home and raised him. That was probably done during the expeditions that first explored Germania. So, I guess that's just like Hollywood stepping in, you know, saying there has to be some sort of tragic connection between the two. But no. There was no prior relationship, at least to our knowledge, between Arminius and Varus. One of the things that Arminius did need was, I think he needed to be a little bit more silver-tongued. Little bit more charismatic, because let's face it, Arminius had to have been extremely charismatic in order to pull any of this stuff off. Because he not only convinced his boss that there was no treason without having the father-son connection pushed in the show, but convinced tribes who were old enemies to work together in complete secret to push the Romans out of the region for good. And then turn the tribes and fight the Marcomanni later on. This requires a ton of iron will and political savviness that I just really didn't get from this Arminius. He seemed very indecisive, very uncontrolled, very conflicted, which is fine. I know what they're trying to go with, that this was a hard move for Arminius and will he, won't he, and all that. But I honestly don't think Arminius in that time period would have actually had that conflicting issue, as they tried to show in the show. He also didn't seem that properly motivated to break the Roman control, other than his "I didn't get to go back to Rome." Again, that could have been solved with more time and a little bit more in-depth exploration of his character. So now we'll move on to Varus. Varus, I thought the guy who portrayed him did a rather decent job. He was very snooty. He was very highborn, I would call it, just looking down his nose at the Germans, seeing them as inferior to the Romans, and putting down his law as he would want it, which, to be honest, that's how Varus seems to come across in the sources. Very his way or death when he was governing. His father-like relationship with Arminius was a bit too much, let's be honest. But I thought the way they portrayed him for the rest of it was pretty good. He was a good villain. Thusnelda. I really did like Thusnelda. The histories argue that Thusnelda was raped and taken by Arminius against her will, but in reality that seems to be much more of her father's will than hers. Especially considering we are told that Arminius never took another wife after her capture and she lamented his death and their separation. That doesn't sound like you would do if someone raped you. That's not what you do. So while the histories try to downplay the relationship because she's a woman, or at least take away her agency, it was nice to see the show give it back to her. Now, her love triangle with the character that was made to be the friend/enemy of Arminius was eye-rolling. He's the character I mentioned earlier that I just absolutely did not care for. But that's just Hollywood being Hollywood. I was not a fan of that love triangle. I didn't think that character needed to be there to create conflict between him, Thusnelda, and Arminius. Just didn't think it needed to be done, but that's what they decided to do. That character, by the way, does not exist. At least the way they portray it. Just doesn't exist. But I did like how they gave Duesnelda more agency. I was glad to see her become her own character, making her own decisions. The last major historical character we need to talk about is Segestus. Yes, technically Arminius' brother and father existed, but the brother doesn't show up much in the show yet, and the father is not really talked about in the histories that much, so we're not going to talk about either one. Now, we might talk about the brother if they do a season two, but we'll just have to see. So, Segestus. He's the last character we can talk about in the show, and to be honest, he's the one that I had the most issues with. His character is supposed to be the worm tongue, or the worm tail. He's the guy who senses where power lies, and he sacrifices everything to it in order to get a taste of it, to make sure he's on the winning side. This is portrayed in the very beginning when his son is beaten by the Romans to the point that he is crippled. And Segestus goes, whatever, the Romans are number one, baby. We're going to follow them all the way. And I think this is unfair to Segestus. Is it true that Segestus tried to turn on Arminius? Yes. He tried to get his people not to go with the plan and then leaked the plan to Varus. That's fair. You can betray him like that. But when all that failed, he still went ahead and joined sides with Arminius, realizing that there was just no turning back. Segestus is supposed to represent the minority but growing faction of Germanic nobles who've become the normal for every conquered province of Rome. They have accepted the authority of the Romans and adapted to the lifestyle and the culture and were absorbed into the empire, and Segestus was at the forefront of this movement in Germania. And we can see that involved in the show. Segestus is shown to be smooth-faced. He is also very short-haired. He has adopted the Roman style. But he's being severely abused on both sides and is not taking any issue with it. To the point that it never makes sense why he gets any respect or any of the power that he keeps getting handed to him in the show. He and his wife are just clearly set up to be the bad guys you want to see defeated, and not human beings trying to go down what is honestly an unpopular path, but one that they see is the correct and safest path. Okay, so those are the characters. Let's talk about historical events. Or, well, you know, the lack of them. So, there is no stealing of an imperial eagle. I'm not even sure why they would go with that, but that's what they decided to go with. There is no stealing of an imperial eagle. That would have been written down about because that would have been a big deal. It doesn't happen. So you can just throw that off the list. The father-son relationship between Varus and Arminius, that would have never really happened like that. It would have been a close friendship at best. Maybe a patron and a client's relationship, but not the father-son relationship they really push in the show. The buildup of Arminius in the region is sort of true. Yes, he was brought into the region, and yes, he had fought in a brutal civil war before, but he wasn't brought into Germania just because he was with Varus. He was brought in to establish control over the Taurisci tribe he was a part of, and to serve as an advisor and translator for Varus. And they sort of portrayed that, but not that great. I will say that Varus's rule over the Germans seemed to be about on point. He was brought in to break up bad regions more often than not, so his role was a focus on the stick and less than on the carrot. And I think they did a decent job of showing that. So the next thing we have is Arminius changing and his turning to the other tribes. We don't have much evidence on what happened, because, you know, our point of view is coming from the Romans, who were completely in the dark about this. So maybe how they portray it in the show is how it was done. Maybe. I doubt it was entirely that way, as Arminius stealing kids as just seems a bit too dangerous to pull off. But hey, that was what the show decided to do, so kudos for them. I wish they had spent more time on the issue, but again, that goes back to the 6 episodes length rather than the 10, and the lack of, you know, historical evidence we have on the matter. The last thing we can talk about for the events is the battle itself, which, let's just be honest, is completely inaccurate. They don't do much that is actually shown in this TV show. The setup works, with Varus going to put down a rebellion. Arminius does eventually split off from the Romans, leaving them on their own. Varus kills himself by his own blade, but the rest of it, not so much. It looked like in this show, the battle might have taken place in 2 days. Not sure. That is clearly not how the battle went. It lasted quite a few days. A lot of it was running battles, with the Romans trying to set up defenses, the Germans surrounding them, beating them down, the Romans continuing to run, trying to make it back towards their forts, and eventually getting caught in the bogs and just destroyed. Doesn't look like that at all in this show. Basically, it looks like a part of it gets cut off in the forest, the rest of it retreats back to the main road, and they get ambushed on the main road. There are reports of trees and sabotage, but that's taking place before the battle, rather than throughout the battle. There's also rain. There is a thunderstorm that the Romans report, but again, this takes place before and throughout the battle, rather than at the climactic end of the battle, as they put in the show. This rain really sapped the Romans of their strength because of the armor that they were wearing. The other thing that they did not show was that there would have been women and children and civilians that would have been moving along with these legions, because the Romans were planning to stay in their area for a while, so they wanted to make sure they had the comforts that they needed. This was going to look like it might have been a long siege, and they were going to be far away from home. So, the battle would have seen deaths of more than just Roman soldiers. But, if you want more details about this battle, just listen to the episode we've already made on it. Okay, so the final thing I wanted to talk about is religion and racism in the show. The religion you need to take with a massive dose of salt. There's just no way that is 100% accurate, because we don't know much about the religion of the Germans back then. We have a few outside looks from the Romans we can build off on, and we have what the far north is practicing under the Vikings hundreds of years later. And that's what the show does. It takes those few outside looks, it takes what we know about the Vikings, and it smashes them together, and they come up with German religion. And you can definitely tell of the Norse influences in the show. So just don't trust much when it comes to the German religion in the show. Final thing is the racism, which goes both ways. So yes, in the show itself, the Romans would have been rather abusive towards the non-Romans. There was a difference between legionnaires and auxiliaries. But it's not that bad between the soldiers themselves if they've already proved themselves, which Arminius and his soldiers had already done. Now, yes, he would have been stopped from doing anything higher than what he already was in Germania, so that's true, but he would have also known that. He wouldn't have been caught off guard by it. It was a common practice. So there's this mix you need to keep in mind with the show. Racism is there, as they show, but it's not shocking that it's there. It's just part of life. And Arminius would not have been caught in such an awkward position as the show likes to portray him to be. First of all, Arminius is not the first German to be sent to the Romans. This is a policy that the Romans have been doing in the past, so Arminius would not have been this oddball out, or just the first son coming home. He's just one of many sons who are coming back to Germania after serving time with the Romans. And he wouldn't be despised for serving the Romans. The Romans had been hiring Germans for a long time now. And it was seen as a way to get some money, to get some status, to rise in your tribe as a great warrior by serving the Romans. So, yeah, Arminius would probably come across as that, rather than this outsider who is more Roman than German. And for the Romans, he's a German, but, you know, he's a German who's fought for us, so there's a little bit more respect there. But there's also racism around the issue of the show. Not saying that the show itself is racist, not trying to say that the creators are racist or anything, but the story itself is deeply entrenched in old racial issues, which goes back to the Nazis. Yeah, unfortunately, you just cannot avoid or ignore the Nazis. The show has had a couple of people worried about it because they look at it and they go, oh, German nationalism's coming to the forefront again. The show is trying to promote that Germans are above everyone else. Look, they could defeat the greatest empire in the world. That means they're invincible, meaning that they're trying once again to form the Nazi empire. Yeah. New York Times wrote an article about that issue of the show trying to walk a fine line to portray this without people coming across and thinking that they were promoting Nazism or that Germans were the best. And that is an issue that comes with this story. I think the show does toe the line occasionally, but they do a good job of making sure that you don't think the Germans are superior beings, which is very, very important for a lot of people. There's still a big fear among people, and there is still a movement among certain Germans that have this idea in the back of their mind. But I think they do an okay job. Just keep that in mind as you're watching it. If you've seen something and it comes across as that's a little bit too nationalistic and so forth, that's coming from you and from the past relationship with Germany on nationalism. Not been a good mix for the Germans. All right. So that's enough. Go check out the New York Times episode if you'd like to learn more about the issues the show had with Nazis and nationalism. If you are interested in watching the show, please go watch it. Email me or message me on social media. Tell me what you thought of it. I'm curious to see what others thought of it. I'd love to hear from all of you. So I hope you all have enjoyed this special episode and that you enjoyed our month of Germany. Please go listen to the other episodes and just have a wonderful holiday.